Welcome to Road Dirt, the podcast of Road Dirt Motorcycle Media and RoadDirt.tv, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand, covering what we like to call ride life, hashtag ride life. This is Rob Brooks, your host. Thanks for tuning in. And on this episode, we share a little bit of the discussion that we recently had with two other riders and writers for Road Dirt, Ted Edwards and Dave Wensveen from the state of Washington, who came into town here in the Deep South to ride and talk about and kind of review three different middleweight motorcycles. The Harley-Davidson Nightster Special, all new for 2023. Brand new bike, actually. I mean, it's what their new Sportster line is. The Honda Rebel 1100T Bagger and the Indian Motorcycle Scout Rogue. So, the audio that I'm about to share with you actually was at the conclusion of multiple days of riding these up through North Georgia, East Tennessee, North Carolina, and down through parts of Central Georgia and everything across most of a week. And this is the three of us, our impressions of each one of the motorcycles. So hope you'll enjoy this. Check it out. Well, here we are at the end of several days worth of riding the three motorcycles. Ted and Dave, man, we've had a great time. The weather's actually, it's raining and nasty today on the day that they're going home, but we've had some good weather, man. It is every day that it predicted rain, it ended up pushing it back. So been quiet. Have you guys enjoyed being here in the deep? I know you've been here a few times. So Dave, how's your impressions of being over here in the Deep South?
Oh, I love it. The weather, I mean, it's crazy. The forecast says it might rain, but that doesn't mean it's going to rain.
That's true.
The scenery, the countryside, the roads.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. The concrete, pavement, asphalt, whatever we've been on has been in great condition for what I'm used to. So it's been really
So we had a chance to ride North Georgia. These guys took a day when I became a grandfather in the middle of these guys' time here, so they took some time off and rode down toward Central Georgia, a historic town called Madison, among other places. Mm-hmm. But we've ridden Georgia, East Tennessee, parts of North Carolina, and you guys got a kind of a tri-state thing happening here. What have been some of your favorite parts of the ride, as far as places you've been, places we've been, we've ridden through, and...
Well, being the third time down here, I'm constantly just blown away by how rolling and green everything is. I mean, in our state, you have to work around mountains. There's only three ways to get across the state because you got to go across the Cascade Range. So, you know, travel in April means it could be sunny or you could hit snow, and sometimes only half an hour apart. But down here, everything's so quick and accessible. You want to go to Madison for half an hour, you don't have to worry about, oh, is the pass closed?
Yeah.
And everything's so rolling and green, it doesn't matter where you go. It seems like everything's a nice, gentle, smooth country ride. And all the scenery's perfect. And Dave made a good observation. No matter where you are, everything's different, but it still looks the same. You're a different spot, but it's still rolling green hills and these big southern mansions that I only thought, you know, I saw in like Gone with the Wind. But they're down there in Madison, and it's just, everything's just gorgeous.
Yeah. What have been some other highlights and parts of the trip that you've enjoyed, Dave?
Well, for me, first time here, so I'm really thankful that you guys decided to go do the Tale of the Dragon.
We took him on the dragon.
Yeah, yeah. Ted's talked about it, or you've talked about it, and I know there's, you know, a lot of people talk, Phil and other people say, hey, there's better roads, but... You know, I have to say I've been on the Tail of the Dragon.
There's a mystique about the Dragon that if you come east, you've got to ride it. Just to say you've ridden it, get the stickers, get the shirt.
Yep. And that's, honestly, it's just a story I can tell. I mean, I tell other people and they're, it's on my bucket list now, you know, and I'm like, I've been there.
Yep.
So that was pretty cool. The road getting to it was pretty fun, too.
Oh, I know man.
Really fun road getting there. The other parts, like Ted said, just the whole countryside, every turn is just beautiful. It just really is. It just, the big homes.
The Old South.
The Old South, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then kind of for me, too, is just in one day, I was in Georgia, North Carolina, and Tennessee. And that's pretty cool. Just thinking that I've been through those different states, kind of checking off states that I've been in now. So
we did kind of a bucket list thing for Ted also, because him and his wife are, I'm about to let the cat out of the bag, they are closet, even though they're over in Washington State, they're closet UGA fans, University of Georgia Bulldogs fans. So we made a swing through the historic, because it's, a historic town also, the town of Athens. And got some photo ops, got some great coffee at a little place, you know, called 1000 Faces Coffee. And then we swung around over by Sanford Stadium and took some pictures of the bikes in and around Sanford Stadium. So he got to like send some shots back to his wife, who's supremely jealous.
That's true. SEC schools are just on a different level. You go to Pullman in Washington State, and it looks like somebody dropped a small, you know, high school stadium in the middle of a wheat field, and that's, you know, a Pac-10 school. Down here in SEC schools, just a whole nother level. But it was really a great test for the bikes, because we had to ride those bikes in stop-and-go traffic, you know, a lot of stoplights, some uphill, some downhill. It was a good way to put the bikes through their paces.
Let's talk a little bit about the bikes. We rode, by way of review, we rode the 2023 Harley-Davidson Nightster Special, their new version of the Sportster. We rode an Indian Scout Rogue. We had to kit it out with our own bags, but we made that work. And then Honda's Rebel 1100T Bagger. They're all three. There's some similarities between them. They're all three middleweight cruisers, but they're also very different from each other too. What were some of you guys' impressions? Well, let's start with the Honda. Tell me about tell me your just quick impression of the Honda.
The Honda is, it's like riding a spaceship. You know, yeah. it's very, very refined. It's very polished. Honda, of course, you know, does their homework. The fit and finish on the bike is amazing. The thing that was a question mark for me was the dual clutch transmission. Because, you know, being a sport bike guy, I like my clutch. I like to feather the clutch. It's home, right? Mm-hmm. So being on a bike, and the first thing it is, grab the clutch lever, and there's no clutch lever. Yeah. I look down by my foot peg, and there's no transmission. So right away, I'm like, ooh, this is going to be interesting. But the more I used it, the more I liked it. And then once I got used to how the transmission shifts and the different modes, I actually found myself not wanting to get off the bike.
Yeah. Good bike. How about you?
Yeah. Like Ted said, for me, I've never been on a cruiser ever. So that was kind of a first. And the Honda dual clutch was phenomenal. I just can't talk enough about it. I think it was well designed. The other thing, I've never been on a bike. It kind of tells you what I ride, a little bit older bikes, but never been on a bike that had ride modes. So first time clicking through different modes and having that kind of the manufacturer's tuning or detuning to help accommodate the rain or the sport mode and all those things. And Honda did really well with that also. And I felt like it was a bike that I could truly tour on.
Yeah. I enjoyed it too. Of course, we had about a year and a half ago, we had the Rebel 1100, just the basic version when they first introduced it. And I love that DCT transmission, and you can even put it in manual and paddle shift it up and down, which I thought was pretty cool. We had the Harley Nightster Special, and this one, these guys surprised me with their response to it. I didn't think a couple of sport bike and sport touring guys would like this Harley Davidson, but they did.
Yeah, it. I went from the Indian to the Harley. It was my first. I went Indian, Harley, and then Honda.
Talk about the Indian in a second.
Yeah, I immediately felt on the Harley like I was back on a sports bike. It was like the positioning, the way it handled, it really was a very sport-like bike. And I felt way more at home. I felt more comfortable. It was actually the bike that just by pure chance I got to do the Tail of the Dragon on.
Yeah.
So it was nice to feel really comfortable on a bike. I was surprised that the Harley felt that way. It was not what I was expecting coming from never
multiple
being.
Ride modes and traction control, ABS, a lot of those things that weren't on previous gen Sportsters, but they are on this new version of the Sportster line.
Yeah. So it was very sporty. Yeah, that's the best I can say is it came closest to the sports tour that I'm used to.
Cool. What about you? What are your thoughts on the Nightster?
I was shocked. I didn't get on the Nightster until we had done the Tale of the Dragon, and I was stuck on the Indian, which we'll get to that later. But instantly, I thought that it was the least cruiser-like of the group. You get on the Indian, you know you're on a cruiser. You get on the Honda, and you know you're on a cruiser. You know your feet are forward, your arms are up. You get on the Harley, and you're like, you're on a standard bike. I felt like I was on like my old CB550. Sit up in bed, riding position, feet underneath you, hands forward. And within 10 curves of leaving the Tail of the Dragon, which is still curvy, I was already had my butt off the seat, leaning off and pushing the bike hard enough that I felt like that was the bike to have in the curves. It was the bike that I thought would be the most cumbersome, but it ran circles around the other two when it comes to curves. Except for the front brake and the front tire. There are times where just riding even at a 7/10 pace, I could lock that front wheel and leave skid marks for yards. So if I had a little bit of a grippier front tire on it and better front brakes, that would be the bike I could keep up with some people in some curves. It would surprise a lot of people.
See, my impressions of the sports of the Nightster Special, I was thinking in terms of the old Sportster because I've ridden a number of their Sportsters, 883s. Mm-hmm. I think my all-time favorite Harley I've ever ridden was the Iron 1200, 2019 Iron 1200. I just loved that, just how visceral and, you know, that bike felt. This one was so refined and so many options and ride modes and traction control settings and everything else in what used to be what I was thinking would be the old traditional Sportster. It kind of took me aback. I really... Mm-hmm. I like the bike, but I almost didn't like it in the sense that it doesn't feel like a Sportster anymore. It feels like a sport bike.
Yeah, this is not your father's Sportster. The parts, exactly. The parts stay on the bike. It doesn't shake at idle. You can actually select ride modes. It's comfortable. It probably won't burn your legs and won't leave you stranded in the middle of nowhere. So there are some advantages to 2023. It's not, you know, 1968 anymore. Sorry, Grandpa.
All right, last of all, tell us about the Indian. We rode the Indian Scout Rogue.
Well, I rode it first, like I was mentioning, and after switching back and forth and then getting back on it a second time, giving it another shot, it is probably what I felt like I was going to ride to begin with when you told me to come down and ride cruisers. It felt like what I thought a cruiser would feel like. The seating position, the ape bars.
Mini ape hangers.
Yeah, and just, and a little bit, you know, a little bit rattly. I mean, I guess in my mind, I had the Harley being that bike. Mm-hmm. And the Indian was more what I would tell people when you ride a cruiser, what they think a cruiser should be in their head, or, you know, what they think of a cruiser. So in that aspect, I actually kind of liked it. I would not tour on it. Ted will talk a little bit. He rode it more in the twisties than I did. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's a beautiful bike. I mean, hands down, I think most people's, I was sending some pictures back home to friends and families and my sons, and they're like, oh, the Indian's beautiful. You know, they really like the look of it. Mm-hmm. Its purpose was not my riding style, but I felt like I was riding a cruiser. I really, the second time I got on it, I'm like, you know, this is kind of what you, I read that article and this is why Rob feels this bike, you know, he can get into this bike. And I kind of let go of, it's not a sports bike. I got to get rid of thinking the sports tour. It's not designed to be that way. So it was probably the most cruiser-like bike out of the group for me, hands down.
What about you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's got no ride modes. It's got no hydraulic clutch like the other two.
No fuel gauge.
Your butt is low. Your feet are up high. It's got 10-inch ape hangers. It is what most people would picture when they picture a cruiser. In fact, Indian kind of did a Harley better than Harley did. And then Harley takes the Sportster, makes it so refined that it seems like a Honda. And then Honda takes a cruiser and fast forwards till it's like the Starship Enterprise. Everybody copied each other else. Indian made a better Harley. Harley made a better Honda. And Honda just went far off into the future with a dual clutch transmission.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
But the problem is you, if you want to drive into a coffee shop and just drink coffee and stare at it, you got to look at the Indian. It's a work of art, and it's beautiful. You put a tan leather seat on it, and you put some open pipes on it, and you could just stare at it all day. The Harley, you only want to look at the right side of the bike. That's the pretty side. You look at the left side, and that's where all the wiring and hoses are, and you look at it, and it looks like somebody dumped Home Depot on the left side of the bike. And then you look at the Honda, and it's got its seat low and its tank angle. It looks like it's been pre-crashed. So it kind of depends on what you want. If you want that elemental cruiser feel, because you're Rob and that's what you grew up with, you want something that shakes and vibrates that you can have that emotional connection with, and it looks beautiful, and it's customizable, then you go with the Indian. Yeah, if you want something that is smooth and refined and is quick and is comfortable and is sporty, then you go with the Harley, which I never thought I would say.
Yeah, I never thought you would say something like that.
If I was to ride one of these home from all the way down in Dacula, did I pronounce that right? Am I getting my Southern right?
You are.
Dacula. I'm getting Southern, y'all. If I was to pick one to ride home, it'd have to be the Honda. The dual clutch transmission is great. The ride modes are great. It's got good saddlebags. It's got great wind protection. And it's the one that I could see myself probably spending the most time with. And it's almost as sporty as the Harley, just not quite.
Yeah, yeah. Now, for me, initially, when these guys hopped on, it took some seat time on the Indian. They both got off just, oh, I can't stand this thing.
True.
Oh, dude, what the heck? And then, you know, I grew up with cruisers and standards and been riding those mostly most of my life until, I guess, about 7 or 8 years ago when I started getting into sport bikes and sport tours and naked sports and things like that. But hopping on that Indian with those 10-inch apes, you know, foot controls and pegs a little bit out in front, not all the way, but just, I was at home. I told the guys immediately I was at home on it. I felt at home on that bike just immediately, and just wanted to hooligan the thing and just go have a blast with it. They said, well, I love it. It's great to look at. I'd never tour it. And I'd go, I would tour it. I threw a set of Nelson Rig bags on it, and, you know, I'd ride that thing across the country. Just because of what I grew up, what I'm used to, and what I'm actually I felt the most at ease and the most at comfortable on the ones these guys felt the least at ease and the least comfortable on. So that was why I thought this would be, you know, kind of an interesting perspective, you know, getting our different viewpoints on each one of them.
Yeah, the second time on the Indian, I kind of, you know,
felt it a little bit more.
I felt
more,
it
right?
Different, yeah. I'm going to test the performance of it a little bit and get on it and do some heavy braking and do some stuff. And, you know, it performs well. It really does.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just a sports tour, and, you know, like Ted, you know, I watched him in on the Tell the Dragon, and, you know, we've got comm units, and it's like, oh, we're hitting the feelers every turn, you know, so. And I had the Harley, and I touched down a couple times with that, which was like, oh, you know, it's a little different experience than I'm used to. But the performance of the Indian is actually pretty good.
It's just a style.
I mean, the suspension's a little bit, you feel the bumps a little bit more, which I think.
You do that.
Aren't you supposed to?
You are, actually. You are on this kind of bike.
Yeah. And see, it's funny. Yeah, go ahead. That's the thing with the Indian. It's great as long as it's in its environment, which is straight, flat, and looking pretty. It's a good parade bike. It's a bar hopper. As soon as the road gets curvy, you realize you only have 25 degrees of cornering clearance. I apologize to Indian for scraping the peg feelers down the nubs.
Yeah.
And it's got 2 inches of rear suspension travel. So if there's a pebble in the road, it goes right up through your spine and rattles your fillings out. The front brake is horrible, and it's got no adjustable levers. So it's great as long as you're going straight and flat. Tail of the Dragon, I'm just going to say I apologize to Indian for what I did to that bike on Tail of the Dragon. I just going to say.
You are getting it back in one piece, but you'll have to replace the little feelers at the bottom of the foot pegs.
It was not, the bike was yelling at me saying, what are you trying to do? I'm a cruiser. I'm supposed to sit and look pretty, and I'm doing Tail of the Dragon twice? Yeah.
And yet a lot of the other roads up there, not on the Dragon, but other ones that were, you know, deep and curvy, things like that, twisty 60 up in North Georgia and others. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was on the Indian, I was scraping pegs and stuff like that, but I was having a time of my life on that thing. Just a great time with it. Just because that's what I'm kind of accustomed to. In fact, the guys, we all run Cardo units, and at one point I don't remember which one of them said, you know, Rob, bottom line, you look good on that with that Revit jacket and that helmet. Revit leather jacket,
yeah,
and that. So I'm like, oh, that's just the cruiser in me, I guess. And these guys would, you know, when I was on the Indian, they'd just take off and leave me in corners on the Harley and on the Honda, and I'm just like, I'm fine with that. I'm just loping along, enjoying this ride, baby.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's how the second time I was on the Indian, I kind of just appreciated, because, you know, in my mind, I thought I was riding, I come to ride a cruiser and really thought the Harley was going to be that bike. That's just the Harley thought in my head that I was going to do that.
It was more like a naked sport bike.
Yep, it sure was. And then I kind of felt at home on it, because that's why I naturally, like, oh, I like this, because that's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, the second time I rode the Indian, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually on a cruiser. This is the cruiser thought I was going to get.
Yeah,
and the Indian gives me, it gave me that feel. And I'm actually kind of appreciate that now, because I wanted to ride a cruiser, and the Indian probably was the closest to those 68s and, you know, 70 Harley feel and rattly and positioning. And it took me a while to get used to trying to find foot pegs. Boy, I tell you what, if you're not used to that, it's like, where are they at? Well, there they are.
Mm-hmm. All right, so last question, and then we'll wrap this up. Rank them 1, 2, and 3. Your favorite, number 2, and then your number 3.
All right, easiest is the Honda Rebel 1100. It's so refined. It's got a great transmission. The power modes really make a difference. The Africa Twin Motor, they actually have given it a little bit of a cruiser-like lope, so you get a little emotional connection, which you usually don't get with Hondas, because they're usually just like as polished as a refrigerator. And that would be the bike that I would take. I would get a thicker seat for it, because at, you know, 6'2", I'm folded up on the bike, my knees are higher than the gas tank, which is odd because the gas tank on that bike is way high. So I need a thicker saddle, but then that's the one I'd ride. Second would be the Harley, without doubt. It's got a great riding position. The motor is ridiculously smooth. On our impromptu roll-on tests between the Harley and the Honda on the highway, it just left the Honda in its wake. Last would have to be the Indian. It's not an only bike unless you only plan to go to get coffee or go to the bar. You ride it, you go somewhere, and it doesn't leave town, because as soon as you leave town and hit pavement irregularities or a curve, the Indian's gonna look back at you and go, that's not what I'm for. But it's just so darn pretty. So Honda first, Harley second, and Indian third.
Your rankings?
You know, after a couple days of thinking of it, I mean, I'm going to stick with my same rankings. But I am going to say that if I was looking for a cruiser bike, I'd have to go with the Indian. Yeah, I know they're supposed to be kind of in the same line and kind of competing against each other. So if that was the bike I was looking for, it would be definitely the Indian. But for my kind of, Ted nailed most of it.
Kind of what you guys ride.
Yeah, what we do and what we like. The Honda
is, Honda what, one.
Is number one. Mainly because I feel like I can tour. I really feel comfortable. Yeah. The clutch system, automatic clutch thing is fantastic. It's sporty. It does what I want to do. And I'm 6 foot, so I don't really have the same issues. I felt really comfortable on it. It would be the bike that I would definitely go home with if I could. Mm-hmm. Today, I could ride it from here back to Washington State. I don't feel like I'd want to do that on the other bikes by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Then my number two bike would be the Harley, really, just because of its sport. I mean, if you want a cruiser that's sporty and gives you that sport bike tour feel, it is.
They put the sport back in Sportster with it.
They really did. Did. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then obviously my third rank, just for me personally, which one would I want, would be the Indian, would be the last one.
See, these guys gave me grief. They asked me the same question last night. What about you, Rob? What's your rankings? You know, and I said Indian hands down first. I'd go with the Scout Rogue, and they were both mocking me. What's the matter with you?
I'm like, why?
And I'm just like, because I feel that bike when I'm on it. Literally feel it, but I also just emotionally, mentally, I just feel it when I'm on that. It brings out that old cruiser in me that I used to enjoy. I think second for me would be the Honda, because I've ridden a DCT transmission before, and Honda has nailed that DCT transmission. I love it. And then third for me would be the Harley, just because of the fact I'm still kind of stuck on this old Iron 1200, the old Sportster kind of mentality. And so, although I will admit it grew on me as we went. So that's kind of our rankings and our time together. Man, I'm so glad you guys got to come spend several, and they were here while we were up in North Carolina and I got the call that my daughter's going into labor, you guys need to get back. You're about to become a grandfather. So
congratulations.
These guys, my friends were here, you know, for that great occasion in my life. So me and my wife. So we're very, very thankful. My friends here were with us. So, hey, if you enjoyed this, check us out on, you know, subscribe, like, hit the ring the bell there so you'll get notifications on our future videos, things like that. Thanks for tuning in to this one. And also look us up on our main media website, our main e-magazine, we call it, roaddirt.tv. This is Road Dirt TV. That is roaddirt.tv. So go join the Road Dirt community out there as well. And on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, we are Road Dirt TV. There's also a group on Facebook called Road Dirt Motorcycling. Join both of those and just kind of that way we can talk, we can communicate with each other. Love to hear from you. We got a podcast. This audio is going to be part of that podcast. So check that out on your podcast platform. That's called Road Dirt. And then we have a Spotify music channel, about 25 hours worth of just old 60s, 70s, 80s, even some 90s rock. And it's called Road Dirt Classics out on Spotify. It's hosted on Spotify, but it's out there for you to check out that playlist and put some tunes in while you're out on the road. So, well, until next time, I got to take these guys back to the airport here a little later today. This is Rob, Ted, and Dave with Road Dirt. Ride life. This episode of the Road Dirt Podcast is brought to you by Chuck Watwood and the good folks at Law Bike. You can find them at lawbike.com.